Verulam Sports.
Hello again, and welcome to Verulam Sports Podcasting. I'm sure by now many of you people may be missing the fact that usually we keep regular tabs on the Men in Black Saracens Rugby Club. But as we much documented, it's obviously been a step back into championship status for the Saracens this season. Nevertheless, I've been remiss, and I think it's time to redress that remission. And you're receiving that on this very transmission, because it is an absolute honour and indeed a privilege to welcome back to you and to us tonight, the voice of our Saracens, the mighty John Lewis. Good evening. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Tony. Yeah, good to be back. Good to see you.
Hey, fantastic. It's great stuff, and we'll unpack all things Saracens. But first and foremost, it's no idle boast, is it, that of all domestic clubs around the qualifying nations for the wonderful British Lions coming up in the summer, the squad has been announced today, a 36-man squad. Five Saracens make the mix. And that is the biggest of all domestic teams' offerings for that Lions cocktail. I mean, once again, John, that's testament, isn't it, to the juggernaut that is Saracens Rugby Club.
Yeah, and I think it's testament. Obviously, those are, what everybody says, class is permanent and form is temporary, or temporary relegation is temporary, hopefully. In terms of, you have to look at the last England series, the Six Nations, and say, you know, some of those players are there on previous deeds and reputation, perhaps, rather than current form. Marrow, I think, is the one player that has never, ever let his standards slip. He's always been exceptional.
John, it's fascinating that you say that. And I am a huge Mauro Itoje admirer. I have such appreciation that the phrase world class applied to sports stars is sprinkled around like yesterday's confetti, such that nowadays one wonders what it even means. But I want to get us back to the fact that for me, world class indicates a player who is capable of representing any jersey against any player, because he is eye to eye as good as anybody on the world in his position. For me, that is certainly Mauro Itoje. However, England's mediocre Six Nations, where they had their joint worst ever finish, also coincided with the equal worst penalty count in the Six Nations, levelled it up with the rock-bottom Italians. Now, top of the tree, in terms of the penalty offenders from an England perspective, was, of course, Sarri's own Mauro Itoje. Is that something that he needs to be mindful of going forwards?
I think so. I think he was understandably criticised for the first match, where he gave away a lot of penalties. Every one of those was borderline. He was. Mm-hmm. He plays on the edge, and every one of those, you know,
and you never want to take that away from
another
him,
day,
ever,
he
would
may
you?
Not have figured.
I was just said
that. And you wouldn't want to take that away from the way
he
plays.
You never want to detract from that, you know, willingness for Itoje to put his body on the line, to play on that borderline. It's imperative, but it is a fine line, isn't it?
It is a fine line, and I think that what you can legitimately criticise him for in that particular game is that having been pinged by the referee two or three times, he should have reined it in a bit and realised he wasn't going to be able to play that close to the line, and he didn't. So I think that you could legitimately criticise him for. That apart, he is the one player, certainly in the England team, mm-hmm. Who, you know, from the World Cup final, when they didn't really turn up, through all the way through with Six Nations and every tournament since, who has never, ever given anything less than his best performance.
And he reminded
and I think that for me is well
all
class.
Of that, John. If in case we needed reminding against that French team, which I think is a bubbling away potential future world champions in that French outfit, his efforts in that game, and getting over the whitewash, I thought was absolutely heroic in many ways.
Yeah, and I think, you know, other players are in and out. You know, Farrell, by his own incredible standards, has been, you know, less consistent. Jamie George, I think, has had a, you know, he's been at his own standards. You know, Elliot Daly is possibly lucky to be in a Lions shirt. It's his versatility that probably gets him there.
I would say this much about Elliot Daly, just personal opinion merely. I think he's actually quite fortunate to be wearing an England shirt sometimes, but that's just a my mere opinion.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I think he's fortunate to have an England fullback shirt.
Yep.
I think he's a far better player when he's playing on the outside centre or on the wing. As indeed, you know, for Saracens last year, he was doing that because obviously Alex Good was occupying the fullback shirt. He plays fullback for England because he has a whacking boot on him, mm-hmm. And it's left-footed, so compliments Farrell. But it's not his best position, not at all.
But nevertheless, he's one of the five. Jamie George, you've mentioned, perhaps slightly down on form, but no doubt about it, he's a previous British Lion. Again, represented England at a World Cup level, and certainly a man you wouldn't mind getting into the trenches alongside. Another one who fits that very bill, Mako Vunipola, makes the Lions squad. And of course, you've already referenced it, Elliot Daly gets in, for me, by the skin of his teeth, but Owen Farrell too. And of course, with Farrell, what you're certainly going to get is that energy, that commitment, which is part of his package, but also that experience these days, isn't it, with Farrell?
Yeah, nobody should. I mean, obviously, Alan Wynne-Jones is rightly the captain, but nobody should underestimate how important Farrell is to the whole organisation and you know, attitude of the yes. team. You know, what he has achieved as a young man in terms of driving Saracens and England, if we go back to that semi-final in the World Cup, you know, he's immense. And he deserves his place in the Lions off the back of those performances.
Absolutely, I think here in that regard. But five Saris. We'll be off to South Africa in a few months' time, and I'm excited. I love the British Lions. Before we move in and focus on Saracens back in the Championship, as they are at present, one final point to you as it comes to Amaro Itoje. Obviously, we've unpacked his current scenario. I have a notion, John, that England could maximise Itoje as a captain. And the reason I think that is I think he exudes all the qualities one would wish for in any rugby captain, indeed any leader of men. Just natural aptitude, a body on the line, as we've discussed, all that kind of, you know, just leadership presence. But sometimes I think it's wise to convert a deficit into a positive. And I'm thinking in terms of that ability to keep on that fine dividing line that between going over the edge and, you know, doing the necessaries to put yourself in contention. Now, I'm sure Richie McCaw rings a bell to you, the obviously multiple World Cup winning New Zealand Uber star, was certainly a fella who knew how to tweak that fine dividing line. But he was a skipper and had the referee's ear. I think a similar theory applies to Itoje, and that's just my own little thoughts. I'd love your take on that.
Well, he's been touted as a future England captain for the longest time. Obviously, he was the captain when they won the World Cup at the junior level.
Yep.
He captained Sarri's Storm team, the reserve team, as he was coming up through the ranks very successfully. And, you know, there's no doubt he has all the attributes to make a great captain. He's probably, you know, because Wynne-Jones is there, it's probably not his year with the Lions, but yep. I think he would have been in the running. I mean, the other reason for doing it, frankly, is that Owen Farrell can't do it all.
Absolutely.
He is a leader, but he is taking on too much responsibility, and I think particularly for England. And, you know, the proof of that in a way is that when he was able to have Brad Barrett as the guy on the pitch for Saracens, that was an incredibly powerful combination. Mm. And I think, you know, he could do with a similar person fulfilling, you know, the leadership role, not so much leadership on the pitch,
yep.
more the leadership off the pitch for England. Interesting that Saracens have made him the captain this year. So they're very much, you know, putting their marker in, you know, as supporting him in that role. But I personally feel he takes on too much.
And such a young man, but my goodness me, he is, as I mentioned already, world class. It's always exciting to witness Itoje do the business. Saracens, though, let's talk Saracens business. I'm saying nothing more about the Pandora's box, which is the fact that they are in the championship, because I think, John, you and I have said one or two pieces on that. But they are, that's where they are. And again, obviously, it's a different league. John, you understand, obviously, the players, many have been retained, but obviously some on loan, Max Mallings and a whole range of others. But Saracens, so far in the rugby championship, essentially the second tier of the pyramid, in third, played seven with six wins and one loss. And that loss was back in March time, March the 6th, against the Pirates. Overall, John, what's the Saris fans' impressions of their efforts so far this campaign domestically?
So obviously one doesn't have quite the same sort of exposure to the sort of broader fan base from not going to watch matches at the ground, but the ones I talk to regularly, I think we're still pretty confident.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt that they got off to a very poor start, very sluggish start. But actually, you know, the pre-season games were poor, and they carried that, you know, fairly mediocre form in against the Cornish Pirates and got caught out, mm-hmm. particularly in the scrum and up front. I think though that there is a sort of circumstance to do with a number of the players that you would have expected to be the sort of spine of that championship yep. team in the absence of the England stars. People like Jackson Ray, people like that, who really are, you know, important players, being banned for the first, I think it was three games mm-hmm. because of their involvement in the Barbars COVID cancellation. So I think, you know, they were a much weaker team for those first few games than they had planned to be.
Yeah.
But also, I think they were definitely, you know, perhaps underestimated what they would be up against with some of these sort of gnarly old forwards and things that are in these championship teams. And they've since obviously played a much, much stronger teams. They played their England players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they are treating everybody with respect and putting in the sort of performances that you would have, you know, anticipated. So I think having learnt that lesson, and having got back those players that were previously banned, they should be okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, as you say, it's looking solid. They're in third, only 1 point off Doncaster ahead of them. I think a mere 5 points off Ealing Trailfinders, who lead the league at this time. So they are really well placed. And John, just to remind those who may not be au fait with it, it's not necessarily the end of the world to come second, is it, in the championship?
No, the way the championship works is the top two teams play off home and away at the end to decide who gets promoted. And although they're third, so there are three teams in the race. Doncaster and Ealing have both got to play each other. So after that, you would anticipate one of those teams clearly falling behind Saracens and whoever wins that game.
So as I say, it's a reasonably solid position. Maybe they've had some teething problems. Perhaps they were maybe some mite overconfidence coming in at that early season, as well as the other factors that you've explained really professionally, John. So it's, you know, exciting times for Saris overall. And I suppose anything less than straight bounce back to the Premiership would be an unmitigated failure, wouldn't it?
It would be a failure, and it would be a very significant disaster is a strong word, but it would not only be a failure, it would be very, very damaging to the club. I think clearly they would no longer be able to hold on to the players that they've managed to hold on to. The players that are on loan would obviously not want to come back, and my understanding is that they would have to look at, you know, seriously at finances and all those sorts of things.
Sure.
And restructure very substantially. So not going up would be not only a failure, but it would be have a serious impact on the future of the club.
At the moment, though, let's not lose sight of the fact that they are, as we've discussed, in a pretty strong position, and I'm sure would be still very confident of securing that bounce back.
Yeah, they've beaten the two teams that are in the race with them. They have beaten comfortably. Their loss obviously came at the beginning of the season, as we've discussed. But when they have put their strong teams out against, so basically Doncaster and against Ealing, yep, they have comfortably beaten them.
I mean, that speaks volumes, doesn't it? But obviously, it's all still got to be done on the pitch. Just quickly, final points on Saracens here, because we've discussed, obviously, the Lions contingent. We've mentioned, of course, the context of this campaign. I've said to you, John, and I maintain that the Saracens rugby organisation, franchise brand even these days, is amongst the finest rugby dynasties and sporting dynasties in recent memory, irrespective of the background context that we've put to bed. For me, their achievements in recent years stand up tall and shouldn't be disavowed. But one of the key elements to that was, of course, Mark McCall. And again, credit to him, because I'm sure the rugby world was his oyster and he could have taken on a new challenge, as with so many, stuck true to Sarries. Overall, John, your thoughts on McCall's handling of this transitional season as Sarries look to transition straight back into the Rugby Premiership?
I think, you know, all Sarries fans have got nothing but total respect love for Mark McCall. What he's achieved at the club, building on what Brendan Bentner set up, has been extraordinary. The amount of coaches that have come through and then gone on to other things, with his blessing, is extraordinary. So the latest being Alex Anderson, who was a tremendous asset at Saracens and has gone on to be the leader at Sale, and they're doing incredibly well this season, and all power to him. But he's been able to develop, nurture and then allow to move on to sort of bigger and better things, a succession of really world-class coaches, and always still maintain the direction, the momentum and everything else at the Saracens. And it's very interesting, I think, putting what Saracens achieved up until their untimely sort of relegation, which was nothing to do with on the pitch. It's very interesting if you look at Exeter, who one would have expected to dominate in Saracens' absence. They've really struggled to do that. They've lost five games this season because they have struggled to balance the pressures of being there to be shot at, but losing players to internationals, as they've sort of had their squad brought Scottish players in and very single players have been called up, and also the pressures of playing and being expected to progress in European competitions, they have struggled to consolidate and go on to sort of dominate this season as perhaps in Saracen's absence they would have been expected to. And I think that is testament to just how really strong Saracens have been for the last, 4 or 5 years.
Indeed, for me, as I say, I still use the word dynasty. I really do. And I don't think any of Mark McCall's men's achievements can be diminished, irrespective of the misdemeanors behind the scenes, I suppose. But John, anyway, that was fantastic. I really appreciate your thoroughly awesome analysis there of all things Saracens, who are bidding to bounce straight back to the Premiership and are looking well set to achieve that very goal. Again, I would always like to wish you and yours every continued joy and success and happiness. And I shall look forward to picking things up with you very shortly to see if the Saracens juggernaut continues to roll. Thanks again.